We're getting very close to the beginning of Great Lent. And the Holy Fathers, knowing that man is inclined to evil from his very youth and can be very darkened quite easily by the enticements of the world, by the enticements of the devil, prepare us for gifts that we may receive. Remember that St. Isaac the Syrian says that a gift received without a trial, without work, without labor, can prove to be disastrous for a person. So the things of God must be achieved with labor, with sweat, with blood. And by these means, truly, we will discover that within us, within the baptized Orthodox Christian, within the heart of the baptized Orthodox Christian, lies the temple of the All Holy Spirit. And it is deep. This is why, even in our common language, we talk about how a person can be deep or a person can be shallow. But we must dig deep in order to find this treasure. And so our Lord came to redeem the race of mankind from the curse of Adam, from the curse of death, and through his death gives us life. He rises from the dead, and all things are then complete. He ascends to the heavens, and he sends the Comforter. And now man has all the weapons needed in order to be able to combat the devil and his forces. Sometimes we don't realize how horrible these forces are. Sometimes we don't even realize that they're fighting us. And so, as we said, the Holy Fathers, the Holy Church, gives us the opportunity for us to be able to see a lot more clearly. So we need to prepare. We prepare for the gift of the resurrection. And before the resurrection, we have all the services of the Holy Week, the Passion Week. We see our Lord hanging upon the cross. And as much as we have picked up our own cross, so much do we understand the mystery of the cross, which, as we've said many times, is the mystery of love. For God went to such a degree in order to redeem the race of mankind. And he shows us by his example, and he shows us by his love. And he tells us that actions speak much louder than words. But even for this preparatory period, that is Great Lent, this period which gives us the opportunity to prepare for to receive the grace of the resurrection of Christ and to behold our risen Savior, we have a preparatory period even for that, which is called the Triodion. Triodion started a couple of weeks ago. Then we had the first gospel reading concerning the publican and the Pharisee. Because oftentimes people fast without really realizing why they are fasting. The spiritual exercise, spiritual asceticism of fasting, is there in order to help us repent, in order to bring us back to our ancient beauty before the fall of Adam. We are not born in this life with this beauty. We have the distortions of fallen nature. As St. Simeon the New Theologian says, this is one of the reasons why when a child is born, he cries. He's mourning his state, that we have been expelled from our true homeland, paradise. The importance of this gospel reading is great. The gospel reading of the publican and the Pharisee. Because it reminds us that we are sinners, and it reminds us that we must not fall into despair, And it reminds us how unacceptable to God the vaunting arrogance of the Pharisee is. And quite frankly, all of us have been both publicans and Pharisees. There have been times when we have easily fallen into sin, whether in word or deed or thought. And there have been times when we have exalted ourselves, the times when we are truly far away from God, not thinking clearly. We said this a few days ago in the synecdoche concerning the temptation from the left and the temptation from the right. The temptation from the left is all the sins that we know. The temptation from the right is self-righteousness and pride and so on and so forth. The temptations of the body, the temptations of the soul. And the fathers tell us that the temptation from the right is much more dangerous because pride is an abomination before God. But pride is what caused the fall. Pride is what caused Adam to fall from paradise, what caused Satan to be expelled from paradise and to become that spirit of darkness, being so far away from God. The same thing happens to Christians. And because of this darkness, they become deluded. They oftentimes abandon their faith. Same thing happens to monastics. When they become deluded, trust their thoughts, don't go to confession, they end up taking off the black and going back into the world. This is part of the spiritual law. So we are taught now to enter into this period like the publican. Not like the publican in his sin, but like the publican in his heartfelt confession and humility. He looks to the ground from whence he was taken, and the Pharisee arrogantly looks up with his nose high in the air from whence he was not taken. So we must look down and remember our fallen nature. And last Sunday we heard the gospel reading of the prodigal son. Because there have been times in our lives when we were proud of the sons, once again to a greater, to a lesser degree. And every year we remind ourselves that we are proud of the sons, to a lesser, to a greater degree. Since we get so distracted, since we care so much about what we do in this world, we forget about what's going on and what's going to happen and where we are going to go in the next life. And so the prodigal son who lived horribly, riotously, who did not really have focus and thought that he was going to live a good life, ended up living a horrible life. In the end, he understood the results of his sin. In the end, he understood that he will remain empty if he continues like this, that he would remain empty. The void within him would be great. In the gospel reading, we hear that he came to himself. When a person comes to himself, when he's his real self, he comes to God. Because we are not ourselves when we are not with God. And he came to himself and he said that even my father's hired servants live better than I do. And slowly he filled his void. And he decided that he would go back to his father in a humble state, in a humble manner, recognizing that he's not worthy to be called his son. And through this recognition, he received recognition once again as his son. And he decided that he was going to go back to his father and to give him this whole speech about how he's not really his son, he's not worthy to be his son, but please receive me as one of your hired servants. And our Lord, before he even opens his mouth, with a fatherly embrace, receives him and makes him merry. So it is over one sinner that repenteth, says our Lord. And now we have one more week for two more Sundays, this Sunday and the next. And this Sunday we make commemoration. We remember the second coming of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Something very fearful. The fathers trembled at this remembrance. A monk is not a monk. A Christian is not a Christian if he does not have the remembrance of death. Remember your last, and you will not sin. But you see how we forget very easily. And this is, once again, the reason why the church reminds us every year, over and over. We go through this every year. But what a beautiful time it is. How great it is that our Lord in his love for us pulls us back from the torrent of the world. Pulls us back from trusting our thoughts. Remember what we said, when we are away from ourselves, we're not with God. And this is precisely the time when the fathers tell us and the prophets tell us, my son, do not trust yourself, do not trust your thoughts. When you're in such a state, you're not enlightened. You don't know what you're thinking. Our Lord pulls us back. And how are we going to start thinking more clearly? With the recognition that we are the ones. Stop pointing fingers at everyone else. We are the ones that have a fall. We are the ones to blame for our own headaches, for our own temptations, for our own weaknesses. Every single Christian in this life will have challenges. And if we are true Christians, we will see God's hand and God's will in these challenges that we are faced with. We can't say I was taken in. We can't say I was fooled. It's not the fault of everyone else. But what happens is, God gives us certain challenges, which, as I've often said to the monastics, things which will make you or break you. And if we jump over these hurdles, we become more firm and we become stronger. And if we fall on our face, then we have truly fallen. We become weak, we become darkened. But once again, we remind ourselves that there's always hope. But we should not excuse ourselves, though. Remind ourselves there's always hope because we see the publican. And remind ourselves of the hope because we see the prodigal son. And so now, we heard in the epistle reading that we must be careful with our brethren. If I know eating meat will cause a scandal of my brethren, I would not eat meat unto the ages, says the Holy Apostle. And sometimes we are just not sensitive enough. We are insensitive to the fact that we could cause damage to our brother just by a simple word. Of course, the brother who's weak cannot use this as an excuse. But the brother who is stronger, or who should be stronger, should be on top of it and should work on it and should be careful. He cannot say, that's just the way I am. If we were all to say that's just the way we are, why are we here? Why are we in the church? Why are we in the monastery? Why are we in this hospital? We have to work against our fallen nature. And all of us have to do this. Even the saints had to fight their fallen nature. And even the saints sometimes slipped, sometimes fell, sometimes, whatever the case may be, in the whole process of becoming a saint, God only knows. And whatever is the process of us achieving our salvation, God only knows. But we must humble ourselves and we must remember our last. So we have to make these connections now between the publican, the prodigal son, and this Sunday. This Sunday where we make commemoration of the end of all things. It's, once again, a time to face reality. Nobody here can deny the fact that one day we will leave this life. And this is something which has happened from the time of the fall of our forefather, with very, very few exceptions. As we said, our Lord gives us life through his death. And we will chant, God willing, Izoyenta for life in the grave in a few weeks. Remembering our end, our Lord tries to make a certain connection between us and his icon, that is, our fellow man. We should see the icon of Christ in our brethren. When our brother is hungry, we give him to eat. When he is naked, we give him clothing. When he is sad, we give him a comforting word, and so on and so forth. And our Lord says to those on the right, come, ye beloved of my Father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you from beforehand. You gave unto me when I was thirsty, when I was hungry, you clothed me, you visited me in prison, and so on and so forth. And the righteous will ask him, when did we see thee in such a state, O Lord? And that's when he explains to them that the way that you treat your brother, you treat me. And likewise to those on the left, he tells them to depart unto everlasting torment. Very, very fearful thing. And I want to remind you, once again, that we must understand these things from a spiritual point of view. If we look at these things simply from an intellectual point of view, and if we don't have it, and if we have not prepared our heart for the reception of these words of our Lord, they are like fairy tales. But the closer we come to our Lord, the deeper we understand these things and the reality of these things. And it is real. It is very real. As we said, we will depart. At one point, we will depart from this life where we have the particular judgment. And then we will have the general judgment, the judgment which will take place at the second coming, when all things will be fulfilled. Because death is not natural to our state. And the separation between body and soul is not natural. One of the reasons why we honor the relics of the saints is because they have already been glorified. They've already entered into the eighth age. And at that time, at the second coming, the body and the soul once again are reunited, and man becomes fully man once again. In this preparatory period then, especially now that we have one more week, let us prepare ourselves and let us pray during this whole week that God would help us and deem us worthy to embark upon this period of Great Lent in the proper way, the right way, with the humility of the publican. Returning, realizing that we're making a new beginning once again. A new beginning is such a great blessing, because as we've said, all of us, whether in word or in deed or in thought, have fallen away. Let us now return to our Heavenly Father, who wishes to embrace us. And may God grant that at that time, the second coming, we will hear the blessed voice of our Lord. Tell us, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you. Amen.